How many of you know who Nehemiah is? Have you ever read that book in the Bible? Have your parents maybe read it to you? Book of Nehemiah? Do you remember anything about it? Yes, Ellie? Okay, very good. So Nehemiah was a prophet that the Lord used to go to Jerusalem and organize rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Why were those walls torn down to begin with? Any idea? Okay, God destroyed the land. Why did that happen, do you think? Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Abby? Okay, they forgot about God and they didn't trust Him, is what she said. And that's true. They had turned their backs on God, didn't they? And that was a covenant. They agreed to do this, but they didn't keep the covenant. The Lord did, but they didn't. They turned their backs on the Lord, didn't they? Yes. What's that? The Lord was? Yeah, the Lord was angry about this. He didn't like it. And He was so long-suffering, though. He didn't do this right away. He warned them over and over and over and tried to get them to repent and turn back to Him, but they just would not. And so this was the last thing that the Lord did, was He brought their enemies in and they were taken down. The walls were destroyed. The temple was destroyed. They were carried off to Babylon. And it was really a sad, sad time, isn't it? Well, Nehemiah is living in a different land at the time when the book opens. And he was a cupbearer to a king. Do you know what a cupbearer is?
Yeah, I do.
You do? What is that?
Like in Job's there were this.
Yep, there's a cupbearer there, but who can tell me what a cupbearer does?
Yes. Cupbearer, like, pours wine for a king or serves it to him.
And what does he do before he serves it to him? Something else. He, say it again.
Tastes it
to see if it's poison. Yes. Okay, so the cupbearer drinks from that cup to make sure that someone isn't trying to kill the king. And then if he doesn't tip over dead, it's safe to give it to the king, right? So that's who Nehemiah is, all right? And so Nehemiah is praying to the Lord this day before he goes in before the king, and this is in Nehemiah chapter 1, and he's praying to God and he's pleading to the Lord about his day and that he would prosper before this king. And he confesses how great and awesome the Lord is in verse 5, Nehemiah chapter 1. Verse 5 is Nehemiah's prayer. He says, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel.
your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel with which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, or ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. And so he's confessing to them, or to the Lord, he's confessing to the Lord why they're in captivity. And he's not denying that, and he's taking responsibility for their actions, that they are in this place because they have turned their back on the Lord. And so he gets done praying, and he goes in before the king, and he's going to perform his duty of being a what? A cupbearer. But he goes in before the king, and guess what? He looks happy. How does he look? Does anybody remember the story? He looks sad. And guess what? The king notices. Now, if you're a cupbearer, that's a dangerous thing, because the king doesn't want to see frowning, sad people in his court. And so Nehemiah knows, the king asks him, why are you sad, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah, he shoots a prayer up to heaven real quick. It says that he prayed to the Lord, and then he answered the king immediately, just like that. You know, you can pray that fast, and the Lord will hear you. Your prayer doesn't have to be 20 minutes long all the time, you know, because sometimes you don't have 20 minutes. Sometimes you've got that much time to pray. And he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and he requested, let's read it. What did he request of the king? He says, verse 2 of chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. And so the Lord answered Nehemiah's prayer, didn't he? He went in before that king, and he had sorrow of heart over what? Why was he sad? Ellie? Yeah, because Jerusalem was burned down, and he was very sad about it, and he wanted to go back and fix it. The Lord had placed this on his heart to go back and do this. And the Lord was in all of this. Because that king, think about this, that king, why would that king want him to go back and rebuild this city? What good would that be for the king? And so this whole thing is quite miraculous that he allowed Nehemiah to go back. And he also provided for the whole thing. And he sent letters with Nehemiah, because when you're going back to this land where you were kicked out of, well, it's probably someone else ruling it now, right? And you're going to go back there, and you're just going to start rebuilding this city and these walls and everything in it, and there's got to be some kind of authority to go back there and do that, right? And so the king, he told him, I'm going to give you the wood to do it, much like Ezra, and I'm going to send a letter with you letting the governors of that area know that my hand is approval upon this. Okay? And so here he goes. He's going back to Jerusalem, and
what happens? In chapter 2, look at verse 9. It says, then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. What were their names? Two people mentioned here.
You're going to read, we're going to hear a lot about them this morning. Yes. The two names before that. David. Yes, Sanballat and Tobiah. They're scoundrels. Okay?
It didn't take long. You know, here comes the work of the Lord. The Lord's in this, and the Lord's getting Nehemiah to Jerusalem to build this wall up again.
And guess what? Trouble comes. And whenever it seems like whenever there is a work of the Lord going on, the enemy also comes in and tries to ruin this and tries to destroy it. And it doesn't take long for opposition to come, does it?
Here's two people, and they were not happy that Nehemiah was coming there to rebuild this wall. But did Nehemiah, did he just turn around and leave? Let's read. It says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And then he arose in the night, and he went out, and he was looking at the walls and the condition that everything was in. So when those guys got mad at Nehemiah, what did Nehemiah do? Did he quit? Did he turn around and go back? Said, oh, this is not going to work. These guys are already mad. We haven't even started to do anything. Is that what he did?
No.
What did he do? He went right in there, didn't he? He went right into Jerusalem. Why do you think he did that? What do you think? Gabby? That's all right. It's okay. Why do you think he kept going? Okay, he wanted to. Why did he want to?
Sriya. He wanted to help the people? Okay, you guys answer nice and loud because I'm half deaf. Okay?
Maybe he felt like God had a plan for him.
Okay, we're getting warmer now because Nehemiah knew that the Lord wanted this and the Lord was in this. What can man do to me when the Lord is with us, right? Okay?
And so he went on because he had the word of the Lord and he was going to obey this word of the Lord. He wasn't going to let these guys discourage him and not move on. And so we come to chapter 3 and the work begins. He went around, he looked at the walls that night that he got there. And he talked to the other people in leadership at Jerusalem at the time, and he told them all that the Lord had done and how the Lord had got him there, and the response from the king. And so now they said, we got to read this verse. In chapter 2, verse 18, and I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and I also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, listen to this. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. And so they were going to do this thing. And then again, look at verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us, therefore we, his servants, will rise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem.
And so they're going to build, right? They're going to go on and do this. All right, but we're going to build too. And I brought some Legos for us to build. So I need you to, let's have a group here. And this is good. You're already in groups. So you guys can come down here. And you guys can be right here. And I need a hand, Carter, moving this back if we can. Can we slide this back? Move this stuff over. Real good. Okay. So go ahead. You can sit down on the floor. Help me out here. Okay, you guys, here, let's move these two chairs. You guys gotta work together. What a thought. Okay. You guys have. We're gonna build a wall. Just like Nehemiah. Alright? Maybe that's enough. Here. Here's the platform, put it on, start working on. Alright? So go ahead, get them out. And you guys, what did he build? What are we building? We're gonna build a wall, right? What does a wall do? What does a wall do? Something it's not doing in our country right now. What does it do? What does a wall do? Yes, go ahead. It protects. Yes. Right? No brainer. Okay? It keeps someone out and keeps others in. Right? Protection. Yeah, you go ahead. Okay, where's my sand ballot and Tobiah? Come on up. Hey. What are you doing? What are you doing? Is this a joke? What are you thinking? You're going to build this wall? Are you serious? What is that going to do? It looks to me like you're trying to rebel against the king.
Your wall's just going to fall down.
Yeah. What a wimpy little thing. A fox could go on that and it would fall down. That is the most foolish thing I have ever seen. What is this? You know what? That's exactly what. What? Good. Throw it in the dumpster. So, that's what Sanballat and Tobiah did, didn't they? They went around and they mocked and they criticized and they accused and all that. But what did the children of Israel do? What did Nehemiah do? Hey, everybody, pay attention. 1 second. What happened when the people came and mocked them and laughed at them and all that? What did they do? Did they quit? Do you know the story?
Yeah.
Abby? They kept working, didn't they? Yeah. So Nehemiah was not distracted, and the work went on. And then we come to chapter 4.
And I'm going to read while you're building. Getting that wall built. Go get this water. They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So what do you think Nehemiah did? These people now were so mad that they wanted to kill these people for building this wall. So what do you think Nehemiah is going to do now? Does anybody remember what he does from hearing this before? Abby? Yes, very good. So Nehemiah, it says, so it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, they told us 10 times from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall, 2 openings, and I set the people according to their families and their swords, their spears, and their bows. And so, not the rubbish is bad. We've got swords. You guys need to be armed. And so, here.
Hey, they have more people than us.
Here's a sword. And here's a sword. Don't hit anybody with them. Okay.
Okay, don't hit with them. It's all for pretend. Just all for a little lesson here. And so now, what did they do? Don't hit. So when the people came, they're like, we're going to get those people. We're going to make them stop building that wall. They're not even going to know we're going to come upon them and we're going to kill them. What an awful thing, right? And so Nehemiah, he's like, this work is going to go on and they are not going to deter us from this because the Lord said to do this. And so he gave them a sword. And so some of them had a sword and some of them kept on building. All right? So keep on building. You got it built? You got your walls up?
Yeah, our walls are done.
Okay, don't do this.
Okay, here you guys. All right. Very good. And so the wall went up, and it went on anyway. You know, there's a verse. Okay, guys, listen up. Listen up. In Galatians, it tells us, you know, when we do this work, when we're doing things for the Lord. Lucas, listen up. There's a verse in Galatians that tells us not to be discouraged. It says, I'll read it to you, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. They didn't lose heart, did they? They weren't distracted. Like many of you are right now. Okay, they weren't distracted. They were going to go on, right? Little change of plans. They had to change things up. They didn't plan on having to carry a sword, I'm sure, when they started out building this wall. But sometimes you got to do things a little bit different as you're going through, right? And so they did. And they got armed, and it kept the enemies away then. They didn't come in and they didn't try and kill them and they didn't attack them because they knew that they would have a battle on their hands. And so the work went on. Well, the work went on, but the enemy didn't stop, did he? The enemy then tried another little trick. They called to Nehemiah. They sent a letter and said, hey, why don't you come out here and meet us? We'll talk about this. But Nehemiah knew that they weren't there to talk about this. What do you think they wanted to do? Yeah. They wanted to do him harm. Right? They wanted this thing to stop. But the Lord was going to work through this. And the Lord did work through this. And Nehemiah, well, he didn't fall for that old trick. Listen to what Nehemiah says. In chapter 6, verse 3, it says, so I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Nehemiah was focused, right? He was focused on what he was sent out to do, and he was going to do it. This was the work that the Lord called him to do, and he was going to do it. Okay, let's put all the swords in a pile here in the middle.
Dagger 2.
Yep, dagger 2. You guys can all take one home when we're done. Your parents will be so happy. So Nehemiah didn't fall for that trick either. And he stayed doing what the Lord wanted him to do, didn't he? And we can have that sometimes too, can't we? When we're doing something for the Lord. You know, there's something that I know some of you have been involved in this in the last weeks. What about going to that nursing home and singing to those people? Do you think that's the Lord's work? Doing that for the Lord? Yeah, that's the Lord's work. Well, there's things that can come up to try and distract us from that, isn't there? And That's just one example, but there's all kinds of things that we can be busy doing for the Lord, and there's always going to be a distraction and something that comes in and tries to take us away, tries to distract us or whatever it might be. I don't know if someone would threaten to kill us here, but there are Christians in the world that do get threatened like that for doing the Lord's work. People just, they're not building walls, guys. Hey? Listen up. They're not building walls. All they're doing is telling people about Jesus. And people want to kill them because they're telling people about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And yet those people, they stay focused and they keep on doing it. And the Lord is with them. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, the opposition kept coming, but the wall kept getting built, and finally it got done. And in chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "So the wall was finished, and it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God." It was a testimony to those other nations. And the wall was done, and it says, "Then it was when the wall was built, and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother," and the account goes on. But they got the wall built, even through the resistance and all the things that Sanballat and Tobiah tried to bring upon them and all of that. They still pressed on. They still got it done. You know, there's another verse in the New Testament that reminds me of this story. It says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And those are things that sometimes we have to think about when we're in our own work for the Lord, don't we? And this wall got completed. You know, there's a promise also in the New Testament about the church. It says that the Lord Jesus was going to build his church, and gates of hell would not prevail against it. Who's stronger, Satan or God?
God,
of course, isn't he? He's all-powerful. He's almighty. And if he is in this, it will be accomplished according to his will. You know, they built the wall for protection around the city so that the enemies couldn't just come in there and nobody would even know and hurt people or steal things or whatever they might try and do. They built that wall around there. They needed protection. That wall is protection. And we have a protection too, don't we? There is someone that protects us much, much more than a wall. Who is that?
God.
Yes. God, specifically. Who? Yeah, go ahead.
Jesus.
Yes, the Lord Jesus.
We had a problem with our sin.
We have a problem with sin, and we are sinners, and we need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus did what no one else could do by coming and becoming a God, becoming a man, and living a perfect life and offering it up on our guilty behalf, because the wrath of God is upon us because of our sin. Our sins separate us from God, and that separation is going to be all for eternity if we die in that state. But we can be saved, right? That's the good news. That's the gospel. For God so loved the world, say it with me, "For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Very good. Absolutely. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be
saved."
Absolutely. Amen. And he saves us from the wrath to come.
So even if those Sanballats and Tobias come into our life, we have a Savior. And greater is He who is in you than He who is in the world. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that when you die, that you will be safe in the arms of the Lord? If you don't know, I would talk to your parents. Because you can absolutely know and you can absolutely be saved. And you can be saved today. Amen. Okay, very good. Our time is up. So, let's pray. Ready? Lord, we thank you for this account in the Old Testament of Nehemiah. And we're grateful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for how you work in our lives. I pray that you'd be at work in each one of these young lives and that they would remember how you got that wall built and how you protected your people and that you were the one to turn to in times of trouble and in good times as well. So we commit this day to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can all have a sword if you want one. You're welcome.